السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are talking about the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu called Ibadur Rahman, the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. My brothers and sisters, the greatest honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever gave to anybody is to call him his slave. And the dalil for that is that this is the name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, whose honor and whose status and whose level is higher than anything and everything in creation. The Sahaba came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the subjects of Kisra and Khusro, that is the king of Persia, the emperor of Persia, and Khusro, which was the name given to the head of the Byzantine Empire. I don't use the word Caesar because it was not Caesar. Caesar was the Western Roman Empire. This is the Eastern Roman Empire. In this case, it was Heraclius. So they said that the subjects of Kisra and Khusro, they make sajda to their kings. And they said that you are the Rasul of Allah. They are merely kings, whereas you are the Rasul of Allah. So it is, if sajda is to be made, then it is appropriate that we should make sujood to you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. Sajda is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else. And he said that address me as abduhu wa rasuluh, the slave of Allah and his messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned again this word of abd, where he said in Surah Al-Isra, the first ayat, Subhanallazi asra bi abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu huwa as-sami'u al-basir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, all praise and glory is for the one who took his slave, abdihi, who took his slave from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, the environs of which, the surroundings of which have been purified, and he showed him those things and those signs of his as he wished to show them. And he is the one who is all seeing and all hearing. All hearing and all seeing, Samir Basir. So therefore, to be called Abdullah, not only to call yourself Abdullah, that itself is an honor that you give to yourself, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu called you Abdullah, called me Abdullah, then this is the greatest honor that can be given. There is no comparison to that. So I'm not even trying to say this is better than being called this or that. There is no comparison to being Abdullah and anything else. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His great mercy, told us who are these people, who are the Ibadur Rahman. The purpose of this is to ensure that we develop those qualities within ourselves, so that inshallah al-musta'an, when we go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, we will be addressed and called forward as Ya Ibadur Rahman. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this for all of us inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described what the qualities of Ibadur Rahman are, and these are all ayat from Surah Al-Furqan. and inshallah I will recite them for you, and then over the next several weeks we will look at each of these qualities and see what we need to do in order to develop them within ourselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما ومن تاب وعمل صالحا فإنه يتوب إلى الله متابا والذين لا يشهدون الزور وإذا مروا باللغو مروا كراما والذين إذا ذكروا بآيات ربهم لم يخروا عليها صما وعميانا والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما أولئك يجزون الغرفة بما صبروا ويلقون فيها تحية وسلاما خالدين فيها حسنت مستقرا ومقاما Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said, which means, and these are from Surah Al-Furqan, ayah 63 onwards, and the slaves of Ar-Rahman are those who walk on the earth in humility and with dignity. And when the foolish address them with bad words, they say salam. And those who spend the night before their Rabb in sujood and qiyam. And those who say, O our Rabb, avert from us the torment of Jahannam. Verily, its torment is ever an inseparable, permanent punishment. Evil indeed it is, as an abode and as a place to dwell. And those who, when they spend, are neither extravagant nor stingy. but hold a medium way between those extremes. And those who do not invoke any other ilah, any other god, along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor those who kill such life as Allah has forbidden, except for just cause, nor do they commit illegal sexual intercourse, and whoever does this shall receive the punishment. The torment will be doubled for him on the day of resurrection, and he will abide therein in disgrace. Except those who repent and believe and do righteous deeds, for those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their sins into good deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving, most merciful. And whoever repents and does righteous good deeds, then verily he repents and turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with true repentance. And those who do not witness falsehood, and if they pass by some evil play or evil talk, they pass by it with dignity. And those who, when they are reminded of the ayat of Allah, and those who, when they are reminded of the ayat of their Rabb, they are not deaf and blind to them. And those who say, "Our Rabb, bestow on us from our wives and our offspring those who will be the comfort of our eyes and make us leaders for the muttaqun, those who will be rewarded with the highest place in Jannah because of their sabr, because of their patience. Therein they shall be met with greetings and the word of peace and respect. Abiding therein, excellent it is as an abode and as a place to dwell." My brothers and sisters in Islam, I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu described 9 qualities of those special slaves of His who He chose to call Al-Ibadur Rahman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help in cultivating these qualities and in taking the right exit on the road on which we are traveling, so that we will be entitled to the beautiful destination on the road that He Jalla Jalaluhu chose for us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among those who He called Al-Ibadur Rahman. What are these 9 qualities? I will just list them for you, and as I said, inshallah, in the following weeks we will try and look at these in more detail. The first of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who walk on the earth in humility and dignity, and when the foolish address them with bad words, they say salam. It's very interesting to note that even though this deen of ours is based on tawheed, it is based on the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu without any partners, because He has no partners. The first quality of Ibadur Rahman is not described as tawheed. It's described as in terms of behavior, in terms of akhlaq, in the terms of how we relate to people. Now this does not mean obviously that tawheed is not important. That is the fundamental base. I always give the example and I say that if I tell you, name for me your favorite airline, and you say, well, Emirates. Then I ask you, what do you like about Emirates? And you say, the onboard service, the food and so on. I said, no, hold on a second. Do you mean to say that safety is not important? Will it arrive? My first international journey was, the last bit of my first international journey was on an airline called BWIA, British West Indian Airlines, from Miami, Florida to Georgetown, Guyana. So BWIA, they used to say, but will it arrive? So if I ask you, is safety not important? You will say, no, of course, safety is so important that it does not need to be mentioned. Just because I'm not saying safety doesn't mean that safety is not important. Of course, it's important. I'm not boarding the plane to die, So, obviously, safety is supremely important. It's so important that it need not be mentioned. Therefore, when you tell me what is important, I tell you what's important, but effectively, safety is the foundation, is the bedrock on which everything stands. So tawheed is the bedrock on which everything stands. But when you come to the qualities of Ar-Rahman,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who made this list of this. I didn't invent this. These are the ayat of the Quran. Allah mentioned this as the most important. What is that? Allah says the way you behave, and not just the way you behave, the way you behave especially to those who are not nice to you. Imagine being nice to somebody who is nice to you is natural. I mean, if you are nasty to somebody who is nice to you, then there is something wrong with you. But if you are good to someone who is being nasty, you didn't deserve that. Nothing. This person is, you know, being nasty for his own, maybe enjoys it or whatever. But the point is that how do you behave with that? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you say salaam alaikum. You don't react. You don't get engaged with that. You don't get hooked to that. You don't trade sort of vocabulary, right? You simply say salaam alaikum. Now, this is the importance of akhlaq in this deen. This is the importance, therefore, of tazkiyah wa tarbiyah in this deen. So, the first quality, those who walk on the earth with humility, with humbleness, who don't walk on the earth as if they own the earth. Just this morning, somebody sent me a video of an auction of jewelry in London, and jewelry from various Rajas and Maharajas, and some of the jewelry from the Nizam and so on and so forth. And he's talking about all the rubies and diamonds and emeralds and sapphires and so on. And he's talking about, this is a diamond, this is the most beautiful diamond. I'm saying to myself, this is a piece of coal. Because coal is carbon, diamond is carbon. Carbon which got sat upon a little bit longer than coal, turns into diamond. Go look it up. So what's so special? And he talked about all the millions and billions of, you know, the value of that. And I'm thinking to myself that if those millions and billions had been spent in building hospitals and schools, if those millions and billions had been spent in alleviating the suffering of people, in establishing justice on the face of the earth, how different would this earth have been? How different would our own current situation have been? History is my subject. And I was reading one book of history about the Mughals. And he mentions there, he said that when Jahangir took over from Akbar, this happened in Agra. So when he came to the throne, the first thing he did is went to the treasure house, the treasurers. So he went down into the basement of Agra Fort, and his treasurer is taking him around in the place. And he says there were rubies and sapphires and emeralds in sacks graded by color. And there were pearls graded by size. Sacks of them. So this whole place was filled with sacks of precious stones. So Jahangir says to the treasurer, he's very impressed with this. He says, wow, this is fantastic. You know, all this belongs to me. So the treasurer says to him, Jahanpana, he says, this is only a small part. We have much more in Delhi, and we have much more in Lahore. It's only a piece of it. The purpose of saying all this is not so that now we can go and sit and curse Jahangir or somebody. The purpose is to look at ourselves and say, where do I spend the most? So somebody said to me, well, you know, I can't hang a hospital on my neck. I said, yeah, sure you can. Sure you can. You can hang a hospital on your neck. You can hang a school on your neck. And when you hang a hospital and a school around your neck, that stays around your neck far longer and does you far more honor than a piece of rock. Colored rocks. And what are rubies and sapphires and colored rocks? Because when you go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, all those hospitals and schools and stuff you read is going to be sitting on your head like crowns. In the dunya itself, as I said, imagine the effect of that in this world itself. What do you think that does to your image? As a person, I mean, I'm not saying you need to do it for that reason. You do it with ikhlas to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but your ikhlas doesn't take away from the benefit of the deed itself in this life. So you get that benefit, and then when you go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these will be brought up as these are the things. So another very dear friend of mine said, magar bachon ke waste kya chhode bolte loga. Main bola bachon ke waste diamonds ke bajaye deeds chhodo, because a diamond is not forever, deeds are forever. De Beers ka hai na slogan, diamonds are forever. Diamonds are not forever, huh? De Beers are clients. Diamonds are not forever, deeds are forever. Seriously, I think we need to truly change our perspective on life. And change our perspective not because now we want to make life more painful, but because we want to make life supremely beautiful for ourselves. How many of you are allergic to becoming the most popular human being that ever lived? How many of you are allergic to being the most powerful human being that ever lived? I'm not talking about the whole world, I'm saying in your circle. How many of you are allergic to being the most beloved human being that ever... Are you allergic to this stuff? No, you're not. So do it. Do it. I'm not asking you to spend 1 cent more. I'm only asking you to spend it on different things. That's it. Not 1 cent more. So don't say, where will I get the... You already have the income. You already have the money. You are already spending it. Just spend it instead of on A, spend it on B. I mean, what's the principle of leverage? Tell me. What do you do when you are looking at a stocks portfolio? What do you say? If you're advising somebody on stock, what do you say? Instead of putting money in this company, put it on this company. The ROI on this is far higher. I mean, this is what you say, right? That's what I'm saying. The ROI on this thing is far, far higher. It is totally and completely guaranteed by Ar-Rahman on his Arsh. And this stays with you in this life and in the Akhirah. Now, what is wrong with that? That's all. I'm not asking you to earn one penny more. I'm not asking you to spend one penny more. Just what you are now spending, spend it on different things. And then see how this life changes for you right here before your eyes. Inshallah, as a bashara for what will happen for you when you are called from the arsh of Allah by your name. And you will be called, Ya Abdul Rahman, Iftiqar, Faddalu Hinak, come here. Your Rabb wants you. Hey? Name Aliyah. Seriously, ask yourself this question. So my idea of telling you snippets from history is not to talk about Jahangir and so on, you know, all my grandparents, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about me, I'm talking about you. Ask yourself, before any spending that you do, ask yourself a very simple, financially sensible question, which is, where does this buck give me the biggest bang? Bang for the buck, right? Where does this give me the biggest bang? Where is this spending going to give me the best return? That's it. Khalas. Spend it there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, first quality, those who walk on the earth in humility and dignity. And when the foolish address them, they say salam. Number two, those who spend the night before their Rabb in sajda wal qiyam. Connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is these two ayat are the tafsir of the life of every Nabi on the face of the planet, whoever came until Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after whom it finished. These two ayat are the tafsir of the lives of every Nabi. What did they do? In the day, they walked the earth with humility and they spread peace and they spread salam and they spread beauty and they gave dawat of Islam, which is inviting people to something which is beautiful. And in the night they stood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, become like my Anbiya. Because who are the original Ibadur Rahman? They are the Anbiya alayhi wasalam. Third quality, those who say, our Rabb, avert from us the torment of Jahannam. Verily, its torment is ever an inseparable permanent punishment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ajinna minan nar. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the torment of the fire. Number four, those who when they spend, they are neither extravagant nor stingy, but they hold a medium way between these two extremes. Number five, those who do not invoke, who don't call on anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for worship or for help, and who do not kill any life as Allah has forbidden. Except for just cause, meaning whether it's in terms of prescribing a court, prescribing a punishment for a crime, that is permissible for the court, for the judge, not for you and me to take law into our own hands. And for things like, for example, something you are killing to eat it, for the udhiya and the qurbani and so forth. But other than that, we do not kill anything just for the fun of it. Trophy hunting, incidentally, is haram in Islam. Just to kill an animal because you like the size of its horns, this is haram in Islam. You have no right to do that. Or commit illegal sexual intercourse. Zina. I remind myself and you that in Islam, when something is mentioned as haram, then everything related with it, irrespective of degree, also comes in the same category. So, zina is not only the actual physical act, but everything that leads to it, everything that is surrounding it, meaning looking at things which are haram, listening to things which are haram, going to places where these are possibilities. It's not enough to say, well, you know, I may go there, but I never do it. Alhamdulillah, good for you. But the point is that that is part of the same thing. And then number six, those who repent and believe in Islam and do righteous good deeds. Now this is a very, very, very beautiful ayat because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's the reason I recited it twice because it's something which is so close to my heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who repent, who believe, who repent and who do righteous good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will convert their sins into good deeds. يُبَطِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will convert their sins into good deeds. So if the man, a woman makes tawbah, not only does Allah forgive what they did, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala converts them into good deeds. Now, how do you even begin to thank our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, whose mercy is such? We look at all of this in detail. I don't want to go into the detail now, but just to put pointers. And number seven, those who do not witness falsehood, who don't give false witness in court, who don't in or out of court and so on and so forth, who do not witness falsehood, and if they pass by some evil play or talk, they pass by it with dignity. They don't get engaged with that, they don't go there. Number eight, who when they are reminded of the ayat of the Rabb, they are not deaf and blind to them. That is the reason why the malaika will ask, Alam yatikum nadir? Nobody came to you. No one reminded you. How come you ended up in the hellfire? Alam yatikum nadir? Qalu bala qad ja'ana nadirun fakadhabna. People will say, no, they came, they replied, they warned, but we denied them, we chased them away. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, those when they are reminded, we all make mistakes. There is no human being on the face of the planet except those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected, the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, who are free from making mistakes. We all make mistakes. Different levels of mistakes, different grades of mistakes. The point is that when somebody points it out, when somebody is showing it to you, then to accept that, to accept the admonishment, to accept the reminder, this is from the sifat of the Sahaba alayhi wasalam. Sahaba Ridwan alayhi majmain, and the qualities of the Ibadur Rahman. Not to become deaf and blind to that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, those when they are reminded of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not deaf and blind to them. And then those who say, our Rabb, bestow on us from our children and our wives, people who will be a comfort for our eyes and make us the leaders of the muttaqun. And for those, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا حَسُنَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. Those will be rewarded with the highest place in Jannah because of their patience, because of what they did in this life, they continued. Because when you believe, when you do all of these things, at least in the beginning, later on things might change, but at least in the beginning you will find, you will get resistance. People will laugh at you, people will oppose you, people will do whatever they do. But you don't deviate, you don't leave the path of goodness because you are following what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. So Allah says that they will be rewarded with the highest place in Jannah because of their patience, because of the sabr. Why is the sabr? وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْصَبْرِ. The moment you do tawasaw bilhaq, there will be cause to do tawasaw bisabr. Those who are saved, alhamdulillah, but that is the general rule. So therefore, Allah says that they will be rewarded for this. Therein, meaning in this Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah, they shall be met with greetings. They will be said, it will be said to them, Salaam alaikum. Tibutum fadkhuluha khalidin. Come, welcome, this enter here forever. And with the word of peace and respect, abiding therein, staying therein, excellent it is as an abode and as a place to live, as a place to dwell. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of you, to bring you, that you come here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your coming. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your ibadat and accept your du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you all that you ask Him for with khair and afia. And then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase that in keeping with His majesty and grace. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include all of you among al-ibadur rahman. And on the day of judgment, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause that you are called from His arsh, Jalla Jalaluhu, by your name as Abdur Rahman. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter all of you in Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghayri hisab with Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatika.